Well, we left off with Mary Magdalene weeping, and the Lord Jesus said unto her, Mary. She said, Rabboni, teacher, master. And when she sees him again, he's going to say to her, Mary. There won't be any isolation in heaven. Everyone will know as they're known. They'll be known individually. You'll have the same characteristics. No sin, of course. Each one will have their own identity. We'll know one another. We won't have to be introduced. Have you ever been at a funeral where that song was sung face to face, as we sang this afternoon? Christ my Savior. And you thought of that person, the body in the casket, but the person was not there. Now, I know it won't be until we have our bodies of glory that we'll have the full appreciation of the person of Christ and the place he's in. But the moment we leave this world, if we pass through death, those who are believers will be with Christ and happy. I was thinking of a verse in Proverbs. In fact, I couldn't find it, and a sister was very kind to show me where it was this morning. Proverbs 29 and 18. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Now turn to Luke 9. Verse 28, and it came to pass about in 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. Behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Verse 37, and it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again. And bruising him, hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. If you notice the first verse of that chapter, it says, Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. You know, dear friends, this afternoon, you have been to the mountaintop and you've had the vision. Tomorrow you'll be down off the mountain again. And you'll have the same problems that the disciples had. Perhaps not visible unclean spirits, but the power of Satan in this world. And it's real. Now the disciples had been given power and authority over them, and so have you. There's no lacking of power. You've been given all the power you need and authority. If you'll read in Mark's Gospel, on the same occasion, the disciples went to their master and they said, Why could not we cast out the demon? His answer was, This kind can go forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You have the power over all the circumstances in your life, but you must go into the presence of the Lord in prayer to avail yourself of that power. That's an absolute necessity. And so let's remember that without vision, the people will perish. But that isn't enough. You might think if I've been to a conference or I've been to the Lassen Pines, I'll have enough inspiration and spiritual things to carry me through. No, you won't. You have to be on your knees now. That'll carry you through. The Lord will carry you through. He's set himself for the blessing of his people. Psalm 21. Set himself for the blessings of his people. Well, for the vision, then. Perhaps a little more of it this afternoon. I'd like to speak about a verse in Revelation 3 and what the connections with it. Verse 14, at the end, the middle of the verse, Revelation 3:14, the middle of the verse, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, what is the creation of God? Well, the first creation is not spoken of in that way. It's the Lord said when he finished, it was very good. But it's never spoken of as the creation of God. We find that the first creation, as far as man was concerned, was spoil. The creation of God will never be spoiled. That is the ultimate. That's the vision we have before us this afternoon. A continuation of what we had. It's remarkable to notice that the Spirit of God must have led in the fact that that which Brother Bill has been speaking of and the line of things that I've been taking of has just seemed to be woven together. He spoke of the land of Canaan this morning. Our present appreciation of it. I'm going to speak of it in its future sense. The creation of God. The creation of God is a creation where everything in it reflects what God is in his full character. It's a creation in which you, if you are a believer, already have a part. You're a part of the new creation where all things are of God. In that creation, everyone will have the very same nature that God has. Will enjoy the same things that he enjoys. Righteousness will dwell, not reign, but dwell. It'll be that eternal rest will be its character. That's the creation of God. The Lord Jesus will be the light and the sun of it all. The center. He's God's beloved Son. And you and I have been accepted in the Beloved One. He said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The prodigal son had a cloak put on him. That's Christ. He had rings, a ring on his finger, eternal relationship. He had shoes on his feet, perfect liberty in God's house. Trembling, we had hoped for mercy, some lone place within his door. But the crown, the throne, the mansion were all were ready long before. You and I are going to be the companions of the Lord Jesus in his own home. In the Old Testament, there are a number of illustrations of the bride. But I think of Abigail. And what does her name mean? Joy of the Father. Do you know that the bride of Christ will be the joy of the Father? Will be his joy day by day. That's the place you'll have in that coming day. Well, the creation of God. Let's look into it just a little as to the earthly side for a moment. In Peter, 2 Peter, the last chapter. Ninth verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Apostle Paul said that he preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is long-suffering and waiting now that this might take place. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. It might read a rushing noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Turn to Isaiah 45, for a verse, 18th verse. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Now this world, this present globe upon which we are, will be inhabited forever. But you won't be there. Because you have a heavenly portion. What we've read about in Peter is the earth, and it the earthly portion for those who dwell on the earth. God is going to have a company of people on the earth forever. He's going to have a company of people in heaven forever. And he created the earth to be inhabited, and it will be inhabited. God will not be frustrated in his purpose. And in the earth, righteousness will dwell. Not reign, that's in the kingdom. But in the eternal state, righteousness will dwell. Never be changed for all eternity. Can you picture a scene where there'd be nothing but righteousness? What a contrast to what we look see around us today. Anything but righteousness. The whole system of trade and all is built on another basis. But in that coming day, on the earth, there'll be nothing but righteousness. It'll dwell there in the eternal state. God is going to cleanse this earth with fire. Sometimes a person will take their old garment and make it over. And they say they have a new garment. That's what we have here. The heavens will melt with the burning heat. The earth and the works therein shall be burned up. There'll be a change, there'll be no more sea, as we read in another passage. A complete renovation by fire, not by a flood. That was in Noah's day. But now there'll be a complete change by fire. And so all the works will be burned up. Are you building for this world? Going to the fire. All that man boasts in, going into the fire. Looking for and hasting, verse 12, unto the coming of the day of God. Oh, what a day that will be. It'll be the creation of God, the day of God. We have read of man's day in Corinthians. That's today, man's day. Soon it'll be the Lord's day on earth in the judgments. and Christ's day in heaven for the saints. But following that will be the day of God. We have the day of the Lord mentioned here, lasting 1,000 years. But the day of God is the final day. Now we look, according to his promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth. Why are we interested in a new earth? We certainly are. We'll notice later. Let's turn to Revelation 21. Now we've come to where the change has taken place. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great and loud voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done. I am an Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, or these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now we have a description here of the earth after it has been made ready again for man. The earth, not heaven. It isn't described here, but still it says, I make all things new. So this earth that God has made, he made it for a very special purpose. In this earth have been determined all the final things that have to do with God's universe. It's here that the Lord Jesus came, as we've been noticing, as a babe in a manger. He lived up to manhood, ministered, was crucified, and rose again, fulfilling all the counsels of God, laying the basis for their fulfillment. It's here in this world that all this has been done. And it's here in this world that he will complete, when he comes again, all of God's counsels to their fulfillment. So we notice that there will be a new heaven, singular, and a new earth. A new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. There are three heavens. There's the heavens where the birds fly. There's the heavens where the angels dwell. And then there's the heaven where God dwells. Marvelous thought that you and I are going to be in the heaven where God dwells. Think of it. Not where the angels dwell, but where God dwells. Jesus is going to take us home to his Father's house. That's how much he loves us. The Son is going to have a bride. Those are God's counsels. And if you're a Christian, you're a part of that bride. And you know what it says in Thessalonians? We shall live together with him. Isn't that blessed? Together with him. Jesus. Can you picture that thief on the cross beside the Lord Jesus as he expires? Today shalt thou be with me, paradise. I'm that thief. You're that thief. That's the character of everyone, and yet he loves us so much that he wants us at home with himself. All the way home to the Father's house, nothing short of it. Dressed in the best robe, the ring of eternal relationship, perfect liberty, sandals on our feet, and then to feed on the fatted calf for all eternity. To be reminded continually of those marks in his hands and his side and his feet for all eternity. And as we see those marks, the vaults of heaven will ring with praises for all eternity. Praises to the one who loved us. Verse 3 of Revelation 21. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. A tabernacle is a temporary dwelling place. But oh, you say, how could this be if it's to be eternal state? You know, I was visiting the Indians in Saskatchewan, and I came we passed a little road, and an Indian stood out there waving at us, so we went in to talk with him. And he asked me to sit down. He said, you'll have to sit like other Indians do. So we sat on the ground. And he said, now tell us your story. So I gave him the gospel. When I was through, I said to him, what is this wagon with a tent on it? Oh, he said, once a year my relatives come, and they stay with us maybe a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then they go home again. And I said, oh, that's the 21st chapter of Revelation. The tabernacle of God is the church. We're going to visit the earth. There'll be sweet communion between the heavenly ones and the earthly ones, you see. We won't permanently dwell on the earth. Our home is in heaven in the Father's house. But we're going to visit. Oh, what a day that will be, beloved. What you and I need is a vision. Without it, we'll perish. A vision of what's to come. What will it be to be with Christ in glory? Now all this that speaks of tears and sorrow has to do with the earth today. There's no tears or sorrow in heaven. Never has been and never will be. Happy thought. Now, I think of some of the dear ones today who would like to be here. Nothing but tears and sorrow. Won't be any up there. No more death. No crying. No pain. For the former things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new, and that newness will never fade. Peter tells us that in his first epistle. Never fade, unfading. And he has to say to us, because we're so unbelieving, right, these things are true and faithful. And now he adds, him that is athirst, let him have given him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit these things. Who is an overcomer? He that believes on Jesus Christ as his Savior is an overcomer. And if you're athirst, if you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he said, I'll give you the water of life. All you have to do is put your hand out and you'll have it. Turn with me to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he that hath put all things under his feet, for he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. My friends, if you belong to Adam's race and you don't have Christ, you will die. You will take part in the second death. And that will be forever. In conscious torment, forever and ever. The race of Adam will not continue. The end of all flesh has come before me, the Lord says. But in Christ shall all be made alive. Everyone who's in Christ has life. Eternal life. A peculiar kind of life. It's the very life that God himself enjoys. That's the life that we have. And Christ is the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Now, and we won't turn to Thessalonians, but you know in the fourth chapter we have the rapture of the church. We have the Lord giving the shout of victory and the archangel's voice of authority and the trumpet, God's voice that raises the dead. And the dead and the living together will be caught away with Christ in the heavens. He's coming for us. He won't send an angel. He's coming himself. He's going to take us right home into the Father's house. That's the vision he's put before us this afternoon. The first two portions we read had to do with the new earth. We're going to speak now of the portion of those who enter the new heavens. But first of all, we notice here, then cometh the end. That's the end of time. The end of time. We know time now. There won't be any time then. Time will end. There won't be any time on the new earth. Time will end. We can't picture it, can we? I was going to say a time when there'll be no time. Not good language, is it? There'll be no time. No division. As we have now. Think of it. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. Now the Lord Jesus, not only was the creator of all, but when he became man, according to the second chapter of Hebrews, because of his death and resurrection, God has put all things into his hands, and he's Lord of all right now. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. That's Peter, the third chapter. Everything is under the dominion of the Lord Jesus as the Son of Man. But there's a time coming when the Lord Jesus is going to take all this authority that he's granted to the angels, the principalities, those angels which have authority over large spheres, all this will be handed over to God, even the Father, so that God might be all in all. Now, why does it say even the Father? Because it tells us the character of our blessings. We aren't going to know God simply as in the Old Testament as they knew God at a distance. but for all eternity, we will know God as Father. And so that when he hands over the authority and all these things to God, it's even the Father. That's Christianity. The Father was never known before in that way. We're going to the Father. And the happiest memories we have at our Father's table give us just a little faint picture of that coming day of blessing for our souls. What a vision for us. And now what? For he hath, verse 27, put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. Christ is God. He's accepted. And so what takes place following this is voluntary on his part. Do you remember in the Old Testament where the servant said, I love my master, my wife, and my children. I will not go out free. That's a picture of what we have here. And the servant went to the post and he had his ear drilled through with an awl, which made him a servant forever. This is what we have here. Jesus, the man, Christ Jesus, is going to take his place forever as man with his bride. That's what we have here. It'll be in the heavens, not on earth. Oh, what a day. Turn to Psalm 19. Now, Psalm 19 has to do with Israel. I know. But we get some lovely pictures. We don't speak of them as interpretations. We speak of them as applications. Psalm 19. Psalm 8 speaks of the earth. Psalm 19 of the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It reads better in another translation. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Now notice, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, that's Jesus, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. That's Jesus, identifying himself with his bride. In that happy day that's coming, when he goes out over the vast inheritance that the Father has given him with his bride, in companionship, in that happy day. Have you got the vision this afternoon? His going forth is from the end of the heaven. That's the universe. And his circuit unto the ends of it. Man can't find the ends of the universe. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. There was no warmth until Jesus came. And then he opened up the heart of God, as it were, to us. And God is known now in his deep, deep love for his creature. And when faith and hope cease, love will abide alone. That's something to meditate on. Verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 15, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, that is unto God, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, may be all in all. Now we turn to Ephesians, the third chapter. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Now, I suppose you, like I have at times, use this verse, He's able to do all things, in connection with our circumstances here, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not the meaning of this passage. He's speaking about the very things that we've just been talking about, heavenly things, things that have to do with Christ and the church, the entry into an appreciation of these things. We read it again. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, that's the power of the Holy Spirit, indwelling every believer, if you have received Christ as your Savior, you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, this last verse, the 21st verse, beloved, takes us further into eternity, I believe, than any other verse in Scripture. And it's full, it's rich. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. What does that mean? What is glory? Glory is excellence in exhibition. Now think of that for a moment. We've been talking about your portion and my portion in Christ. We're going to be in the Father's house. We have a ring, as it were, on our finger. We're clothed with that garment which is Christ. We have shoes on our feet, or really sandals. At liberty in the Father's house. That's our own portion and blessing. But do you know that the church is going to be the means of the manifestation of the glory of God to all creation? That's what this verse means. And how does the church come about this? Been prepared for it. When and where? In the lower parts of the earth. As you go through those deep trials, and some are going through very deep ones, we're going to use the illustration of the stone, the precious stones of Revelation, for instance. All with different colors. Gradually that color is formed, being formed day by day through suffering. O thou afflicted and tossed with the tempest and not comforted, behold, I will set thy stones with fair colors. All thy foundations shall be sapphires. That's what's taking place right now. Gradually those colors are being formed. If you're called upon to suffer, remember, it's to form a color, which is glory. Color and glory. Same thing. In that coming day of glory, those colors formed in you, a part of the church, will be the means of display of the glory of God by Christ Jesus to all created intelligence in that vast eternity that lies ahead. Christ is your own personal Savior, and you'll have a part in it. If you don't, you won't. You won't have any part with Israel. You either have Christ or nothing. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end.